All right, so calling to order the City Council work session for Tuesday, June 23rd, 2026. First item on the topic of discussion, consider accepting the donation of a community art plan.
Mr. Mayor, members of the City Council, I'm going to make the assumption that most everyone in this room read all 148 pages of the community art plan. So I'll talk a little bit more about kind of the context and then a little bit about the foundation. So just beginning with studies over time have shown that 70% of people believe that arts improve the image and identity of the community. And, of course, our strategic plan calls attention to the importance of strengthening and enhancing our identity, brand, and image. Public art may do that. And, of course, there's all types of art and locations for public art. And, indeed, we're engaged in public art with much of what we do. Our holiday tree lighting and things like that are one example. And, of course, our strategic plan calls attention to connecting the community through our parks and trails and programming. And we're doing that with our new park that's about 1,000 feet to the north of where we sit today at the waterfront. And, of course, we have LED lighting in one of the zones of the sprays in that 17,000-square-foot plaza. That's an element of public art. And then even with our toddler zone right here, we have catenary lights shown on the catenary posts, suspending the catenary lights that are coming, glow stones in the plaza below that. And we've mimicked horsetails as an element of the landscape to support those poles rather than just a regular old pole. So we're engaged in public art there. And then here's pictures from this afternoon. They're being painted right now. You see them in the rear ground. The foreground are additional posts that's up on that knoll above our toddler area. And those posts will support our hammock grove. And those posts are going to be painted like birch. So we have this urban park with natural resource elements with an aesthetic towards the arts, public art. The Ramsey Community Foundation, they've been around for a long time, and they're one of the few philanthropic organizations that are still operating in Ramsey. We lost various 4-H groups. Ramsey Rotary is no more. We had JCs back in the day. Fortunately, we still have the Lions. They're an important partner with us. And the Ramsey Community Foundation has been a partner for some time, too. For about a decade, they helped fund over one half of our concerts up until recently. So valuable partnership there. Just a couple years ago, the city administrator asked the Ramsey Community Foundation if they'd be interested in funding our 50th anniversary banners. And they promptly and effectively wrote a check for $2,600 that added that element to our 50th anniversary. That's an element of public art. And, of course, most recently, they've developed a community art resource and want to donate that to the city. And you'll note that it's not called a public art plan because it is more inspirational and aspirational and is chock full of ideas and examples of how public art can add value to the community. So I just grabbed a random page from that community art resource, and I think that it'll probably could live on our website under the Park and Recreation tab for consultation as we think about projects, both public projects like parks and private projects in streetscapes and roundabouts and entry monuments, all that sort of thing. And the page that I happened to open to was this one, and it kind of summarizes some of the reasons and opportunities for public art. And these were picked up with our community engagement aspects of the community art plan, and that is nature's inspiration, case in point, the waterfront, and then the notion of incorporating art in places where people already go and love. We're doing that, and we'd like to do more. And then planning for community art in areas of growth where we have new projects and opportunities for funding them through the private sector or new projects. And the Ramsey Community Foundation, as recently as their last meeting of last week, wants to contribute $5,000 to the city of Ramsey for public art that is occurring and will be completed at the waterfront. And the reason they're interested in that is they want to call attention to their activity in terms of encouraging public art and use that as an opportunity to point to provide additional fundraising. They are very ambitious and want to see community art flourish in the community. And so if council chooses to accept the community art resource and also is interested in that $5,000 donation to our parks, we would invite the Ramsey Community Foundation to a subsequent city council meeting to make that presentation and use that opportunity to call attention to their contributions to the community in the realm of public art.
Alright. Question time? Yeah.
Thank you. So, I apologize, I didn't read through the whole 140-page thing, but what control or say would the council have over the art that's utilized? And then, I guess, legally, would we be allowed to say we don't allow this art free speech for one reason or another?
Mayor, Councilmember Speck, I think council, as in the case of many things, if not all things, has all the wherewithal to decline or approve anything in the public realm for whatever reason. And I don't know that there's anything in the community art resource that is pointed to that can be construed as negative or problematic. But it is indeed, I think, a lot of good examples of public art in other communities, including public art that has occurred here in our city, that have been, I think, successful and looked to as favorable. So I would also mention that we talked about the original title for the community art resource was Public Art Plan, and that sounded like something that had more teeth behind it. So we changed the title, or the Community Foundation agreed to change the title such that it didn't seem so obligatory. So nothing obligates us to do anything.
Because again, my thought is it's not worried about the people there right now or anything, and current plans are great, but I'm even thinking 20 years from now and there's new people, and this is obviously a gross exaggeration, they would put the Statue of David in the water park. You know, it's great art. Well, maybe not appropriate for our water park, you know, with the kids. So, I mean, would we be allowed to restrict art, public art, and those things?
Councilor Speckel, so when a city accepts a donation, one of two things occur. Either you accept a dollar amount, and then you go and take the lead on what that purchase ultimately is, or you accept something physical. So either way, I would say the city has an ability to control what it is in its final stage.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that was my question, too.
Yeah. What does, if we're receiving this $5,000, what is the anticipated price on public art?
The Community Foundation wanted to provide that donation so that they could say, in all candor, that they had a role, albeit a small role, in bringing community art or public art to the community by virtue of pointing to the waterfront park project. The $5,000 is a very small amount compared to, you know, our several million dollar project, and the Catenary Post painting alone, as an example, is $11,000. So I think the $5,000 is really a neat contribution. And of course, the Ramsey Community Foundation, that's a lot of money to them. But I think then, in good conscience, they can say that they did contribute to public art in the public realm. And again, they want to use that as a springboard to create more donations for opportunities for public art in the community.
Specific to the waterfront park, it isn't adding anything that's not already planned, correct?
Right.
So
Oh, okay. So this money is already spent.
Yeah, ultimately they want to contribute to a project that's already been approved.
That's okay.
After the fact, recognizing that there's a lot of different art elements to it.
Gotcha.
Michael?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Kind of tailing in on what Councilmember Speck was bringing up. First of all, my position is I'm very much in favor of art, but I have also recognized that art has gone from being beautiful to being ugly sometimes, just kind of as a general trend. And my concern and question is, does accepting this put the city in a position of a potential future lawsuit of somebody saying, well, this is, you know, free speech, we gave you this money, yada, yada, yada.
Mayor, Councilmember Olson, I can't conceive of that, and I generally have a pretty good imagination.
Can I ask our lawyer next to
you? Yeah, the previous council authorized, I don't know what the number was, and Brian may remember, but something like $50,000 just to put logos on our bridge. So that's an example of something that was totally within the span of city council. If we're talking about a future project and the art element would be on private property, we don't have any wherewithal to approve or deny it, I don't think. But if it's in the public realm, whether it's in the streets or in the parks or in the municipal center here, I can't see how that we could get tripped up, unless someone else has a scenario that they may be able to envision. But I don't see it as problematic. I think it's really neat, and I think the Community Foundation's heart's in the right place, and they indeed wanted to develop this tool as a resource for inspiration.
It's great. I very much want to say yes and be in support of it. I just want to make sure that we're not opening ourselves to something unseen.
Can we ask the lawyer feedback?
Yeah. Does the city attorney any on that?
So when you're entering into anything that talks about the First Amendment, right, there are certainly risks involved with potentially limiting or being accused of limiting free speech. It would depend entirely on what the situation was. And so if you're commissioning some sort of specific art piece and you're providing details for what it is that you're looking for and you have a clear policy, potentially there could still be a viewpoint discrimination claim, but you're better protected if you have a clear policy for. So it would maybe need to reflect, I don't know, nature, whatever your parameters are, you would want to establish those very clearly. Where you get into more risk is where you're accepting just pieces of art. So if you're accepting this piece of art versus that piece of art, then as the donation itself, that's where you can, there's more liability. It's not, certainly not an area that is free from risk, however.
Chris?
I think a couple of these questions have jumped way forward of what we're discussing really. Like right now, we're discussing do we want to accept $5,000 for the water park for stuff that's already being done, and then accepting a resource which we could use, we the city council could use as we choose. I believe that is that specifically what we're discussing.
Yes. Yeah, I think I'm in favor of this being local control, and I think there's a general understanding that if we were to move forward in the future with some sort of art, nature, history, things like that, it's what we would mostly agree on. So I think that message is probably pretty clear. People don't want to invest in something if they think there's going to be pushback. So based on what we're seeing here and for the current use, I think this is great. Knowing that we have local control. Okay. All right.
Thank you, Mayor. Brian will identify a subsequent city council meeting that a couple of the community foundation members can be present at, and then we'll have a formal resolution on your agenda accepting the donation of the community art plan in the $5,000.
Yes, and I think it's great that we can recognize them for their donation as well. So, all right.
Thanks, Mark.
Yes, thank you. Thanks. You're not off the hook that early, though, because item number two is consider a holiday market feasibility study.
Yes, I've got the PowerPoint for that one. Let me share my screen here.
That'd be Tucker Council's challenge, and did a wonderful job creating a feasibility study that I'm sure everyone in this room read.
So it was only 50 pages.
Not bad.
So I have, perfect, that popped up there. Sorry, my computer's been freezing a little bit. Just as a quick background or reminder, this was Council's direction as of January this last year to evaluate what a winter market of sorts could look like in Ramsey, whether it's something that makes sense for the city to take on, and if the city does take it on, what steps would need to be taken. So we have here, this document has that background objectives, and I'll get into some details on some of these, but keep it kind of brief. And then the market research, which is just kind of what's already existing out there and what those markets look like. And then market considerations, which is just kind of those broad factors that go into creating an event like this. And then the market delivery models, which I'll go into a little bit more detail on, but those are a little bit more specific, where if we were to pursue something, what those different options may look like or the framework for them. And then we have a lengthy appendix that lists all of the different markets that we are aware of, as well as some somewhat specific cost estimates and other resources in there. So the first part here is when we started it out, we wanted to know what existed and what those markets looked like. We did find that there are a lot of various holiday winter markets that do already exist, and we took ones that were within a one-hour drive of Ramsey. So some of those are a little bit further out, but some of them are more destination events than others. And I will say this may not be all-encompassing. This is just what we could find online. And I know there's a lot of these small pop-up ones that will exist at like breweries and community centers that maybe aren't the same weekend every year and that aren't really posted until they happen. So these are just the more established ones that we reasonably are expecting to happen again in 2026. Of the 55, I think it was, total markets, about half of them were the traveling craft shows. I would say if you're not aware of those, it's usually a person or a volunteer that's their business that they run. They coordinate with all of the vendors. They find different host locations. They charge the vendors a fee. They work with the host, but they are fully running the event. That was the vast majority of the ones that we saw. That type of market can vary a lot in size and quality, but it does take up the vast share of what's currently out there. We also found that most of them were held indoors in either as a single day or a single weekend event. There were a handful of those extended ones, which we'll talk a little bit more about because they're kind of the outlier and they do also function as those destination style events. And those, most of those non-traveling shows were hosted by larger or long-standing organizations, and most of those did err a little bit on the larger side. But I will caveat all of this as every single one of them were very specific to their community. So as we go through this framework, just know that they are kind of rough guidelines, but a lot of them could fall kind of between categories or really make it reflective of the community or the type of event that they're looking for. So for the different types of models that we saw, we kind of roughly categorized them both by size and then by the host. So we have small scale markets, which could kind of be looked at as an add-on market. So something that's incorporated into an event that's already existing, it's drawing off those features of that event, the turnout and the name recognition of that event, and maybe just has some vendors. The most comparable example that we would have would be something like the tree lighting and adding vendors onto that. We don't necessarily have an event already existing that would function like that, but that would be the closest comparison. The next one we have is kind of a medium scale market. This one's kind of between just having a handful of vendors and having some external kind of events or features of it that get people to stay and hang out a little bit longer rather than just shop. Because if you have more vendors, you need to have those attendees to support the vendors for it to be worthwhile. So as we add vendors, we usually need some other draw. The most comparable one that we currently have to what this medium scale event could look like would be the Two Rivers Art Fair. Not a perfect comparison since that is a summer event, and there's a lot of different logistics that go into a winter event, especially if it were to be outdoors versus indoors. But kind of the same setup, a lot of vendors, but also those activities that people can come and hang out at. And we're kind of then moving more into what would be a destination where we're bringing people in from other communities, and it's an event that they are going out of their way to come to. So the next one would be the large scale, and this we kind of broke up into two just because there's so much variety in what a large scale event could look like. So there could be a large scale event that's just a single day or a single weekend. It's very likely going to have something else than just shopping at it to make sure that those people are coming out. And this would also be something kind of between the Two Rivers Art Fair and Happy Days, looking like that. But again, they vary a lot. This could be indoors or outdoors, which does change the contours of what that event will look like quite a bit. And then we kind of pulled out something a little bit more unique, which would be a large-scale, season-long type event that would require some sort of infrastructure investment or having some sort of indoor space to host it, logistics-wise. So in the plan, this is what there's a little bit more detail in, and there's a little bit more of a cost breakdown in the appendix of it, just because this is a little bit more nuanced. But this would really be a destination style event where it would have to be much larger to support all of those vendors coming out, but it does have the opportunity to, again, really become that, like, everybody would know that this is a Ramsey event and drawing people in where they'd be willing to go out of their way for something this kind of large and unique. I would say that this would be most comparable almost to like a Happy Days farmer's market, but make it really cold. It would be our closest comparison. So that's kind of the size differences between them. And those trade-offs are pretty straightforward. A smaller event, there's a lot less risk, but we might not have as much visibility or branding as a city as one of our events. But if the weather doesn't cooperate or if we don't have enough attendees or vendors, we're not out a whole lot on it. And then on the flip side of that, that larger one, like the one I described with having some of those pop-up huts or cabins, that is a really cool, unique thing that people would go out of their way for. But obviously, they take a lot more resources, both for time and monetary. But they could really, you know, put Ramsey on the map or give us something that is, you know, this event is our Ramsey market. People will know that as us. So a bit of a trade-off there. And then the other two things to think about, other than just a city-run market or event, would be a private or partner-led. This, we kind of have some comparisons with it. We do have some of those pop-up traveling shows that are hosted at Adrenaline every year. I anticipate they would be again this year. Those are those ones that are offered completely by the private sector. Another kind of comparable one would be the Northwest Food Truck Fest. That one we do partner on. But they organize the food trucks, we provide the space, and we kind of co-brand it. So there's different ways that that can look. They come with trade-offs as well. The more you hand off to a partner, it takes the burden off of staff, but we don't necessarily have as much quality control over the types of vendors or, you know, how we are branding our image and what that event ends up looking like. And then the last one would be a city-led one where it is our branding. We have control over whatever we want it to look like, but we are working with some external event support. So this would be most similar to kind of what we did at Happy Days 2023 when we had that staff turnover. We contracted somebody else to fill in those gaps for us and do a lot of the legwork, but it was still branded as a city event. To the public, that event company doesn't really exist. It is a city event. So those are kind of our 5-6 different models per se. Again, they're rough frameworks. A lot of things could fall in between. These kinds of things really are customized to reflect the community that they're in. And in the actual kind of feasibility study or plan, each of these goes into a little bit more detail about those rough characteristics, about what the event would look like, some potential advantages, just operational and resource implications, and other miscellaneous notes like that. With that, that's kind of the overview of it. Right now, staff does not have any recommendations other than getting input from council. The one note that we did have is just that anything that the city is potentially interested in pursuing, we would just want to be aware of what else is going on in the community to make sure that we're not repeating something that's already being done. So hopefully it would have some sort of novelty to it. But other than that, I would love to take any questions or clarifications on it or open it up for whatever discussion is needed.
I'll start since I brought this up a while ago and then go around for questions. Thank you for the presentation. Very thorough. When I envisioned this, it was more of this type C style here, if you look at your model C2, with the stalls and things of that nature. I think one thing that I don't want to lose sight on is if we did do this, there's two main benefits to the city, multiple benefits, maybe more than two, but A, it's a great thing for residents, so I'm going to go way over two. B, it brings in a lot of investment. If we did it at a scale that it was recognizable, I think it would be, looking through the list of the other events, there's not many outdoor markets, so I think it would bring a lot of people in. It gives our local shops a chance to have a higher concentration of attendees, like if you own a bakery in Ramsey, having a spot in the middle of the city during a concentrated event where a lot of people are there, you're going to sell probably a lot more people just walking by and grabbing something to eat. So I think it's good for the residents. And the one thing I really wanted is to have it eventually be a revenue generating event. So I see the numbers here. It looks like, you know, it would be an investment for a few years, but it looks like revenue would be about $63,000 a year after initial costs.
Potentially, this too is kind of a rough guideline. I would put these a little bit closer to maybe that minimum. This does not account for any potential electrical or time for building and storage of them. So those would be other considerations. These are just rough ideas. And if it were something that council was interested in, staff could get a little bit more information on those quotes and what that really looks like. But without getting direct quotes, we don't necessarily know those exact numbers.
Yeah. So I guess, A, if you can do something for the community, that's a service, that's great. B, if you can help local businesses thrive in the winter with giving them a place to shop their wares, even in a more concentrated space, that's great. And then C, if it eventually, maybe not right away, but eventually becomes a revenue generator, I think that's great too. So you're providing a service, and eventually, hopefully, you're actually paying for that service and building a surplus. So I like the idea. I can envision lots of families coming to Ramsey and spending time and you know, ice skating and becoming a tradition. And then one thing that I like too, when I was at some of the Christmas markets in Germany and Austria, is they sold the mugs every year. So I think that'd be kind of fun too, to have like a Ramsey mug you can buy for $5 and you come back next year and you get one and you collect them over time. So I think it'd just be cool, and I think it's a great service, so we shouldn't vote on things just because they're cool and a great service, but it looks like it could actually pay for itself over time as well, so I think that's great. But there's lots of options here besides that one, besides Model 2 C2, so what are other thoughts? Eric?
I like C2. I think that having some spaces for vendors to use would be a draw for them. Even after we get all our folks from our town, we can get other people from other towns to come and shop their wares in there also. Even though that startup cost is pretty big, I think after time, like you said, it would be a revenue draw.
And I've seen them with, you know, petting zoos and kids' play areas. We've built little teeny little wooden huts and cover them in garland. A bit of petting zoos up there. And kids, it's a big draw for families and something to do over the weekends in the winter. Other thoughts? Mike?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I really like this idea and also gravitate towards that level of production. I've been to a handful of markets over the years, and they seem to be a roaring success. Even in bitter cold, they're packed with people. So I could see this being a really positive thing, and it'd be really nice for the city to have something like that that draws people in from the region.
And I've seen, you know, local schools bring their choirs out and sing carols and all that sort of stuff. So I think the more you invest into it, the more you get out of it, and the more of a magnet it becomes for the area. So other thoughts? Sham?
Where are you envisioning this? And where's the parking? And where's the bathrooms?
Yes. Originally, I narrowed it down, if you remember my presentation, to two areas, which would be either the draw or the waterfront. But I'm sure you guys have thought about that since that original presentation, so maybe you can speak on that.
We've just done some general brainstorming about the feasibility, but that would be something that would go further down the line, where if this was something that, yes, we want to invest resources in, then we would do more specific planning, because you're right, we do have to get a lot of quotes and figure out those logistics for restrooms. We'll have to figure out staffing for snow plowing if that were to come up. So there are a lot of pieces, but that would be kind of that next phase of planning once there's some consensus or direction on, is this something we're interested in? What scope and what resources are available for it?
Yes, Mark.
And Mayor, if Council gives us direction to do further planning on this, another element we'd want to look into is any perceived or real conflict with existing markets, like the one in Adrenaline. We want to be very cautious not to compete as the private sector would. What I understand is a successful winter market. I don't know if it's one weekend or is it two weekends that's occurring at Dreadland Sports, and I think that's scheduled for this coming winter. So
as far as I can tell,
it's an annual event. Mm-hmm. So we'd want to be mindful of that.
I think that's great because we don't want to take away from the good folks at Adrenaline who are having success, and we want to support local businesses that way. I think from a city perspective, though, it'd be a completely different event if it was outdoors and you're walking around with hot cocoa and mittens versus taking your jacket off and Adrenaline and stopping by individual table, 8-foot tables. But that's a good call out. Dan?
Yeah, I think the farmers market shows that we have a lot of local, people that might be interested in the different bakeries and things that got involved. Obviously, there'd be a lot of specifics of what does the season mean, talking weeks or a whole month or what, hours, all that kind of stuff. But, I'm definitely interested in pursuing learning more.
Sure.
So instead of the city building these huts, couldn't it be the actual vendors have a competition to build their huts? These are the specs to get in. And then they have the minimum specs to build, right? And then they can do whatever fanciness after this. And then they can take care of the project. They don't leave it at our site. We don't have to store it. We don't have to manage it. It's all them versus this is $170,000 project where there's not money coming back in, where I don't.
There is money coming back in. It doesn't come in all in one year, but there would be revenue coming back in. I do also think that, to your point, another option that I kind of pointed out too is you could have maybe corporations sponsor a booth and they pay for it. So maybe I'll make up a fake company, but maybe Bob's Furniture, is that a real company? Oh my goodness. Okay. Teddy's Furniture. Who knew? Go Bob's Furniture. Free advertising. Maybe Teddy's Furniture sponsors a booth, so they pay that $6,000 cost, and then they get to, naming rights or something on that. That could be an option as well. But I don't think you want to lose continuity and have a bunch of different jacks of all different sizes and stuff, I think.
Well, that's where you'd have minimum, right? Anyway.
Yeah. Chris?
But I guess I'll look here. So even if we remove the cost of the huts here, it appears that this would operate at a $20,000 loss, give or take.
I would put it at pretty rough numbers, just based on our past events, but it can vary so much, especially
right,
by
that's
the time
what this is showing, and
it,
even if you remove
yes.
that cost.
It would be hard to say until we got solid quotes from vendors, as well as I would anticipate electrical to be a larger cost, because we would need that out there. But yeah, you're right, we would roughly need to get those in, and it could vary either
sure.
way until we really go far down the effort of actually planning something.
And so when I was reading through this, the couple ideas that kind of, I'll say, turned me on or got me excited was, like using the springboard of our tree lighting, which was mentioned in here, I'll say greatly increase that in size, use all of City Hall, all of the rooms, all the way through the vendors outside. So I think that would, I was thinking, that takes care of like a heated space, that takes care of bathrooms, you can have vendors on the plaza, whatever, something like that, that feels a little easier and could kind of be a middle ground that we could have some of the outdoor stuff and then the safety of the indoor. The other one that I saw that I wasn't even aware of, but to see if the city could horn in on part of the Green Valley. I don't know how big theirs is, but that's in the city. How big could the city help them make it? And, you know, there again, that's someone else that's already doing it. If the city could kind of co-brand and, you know, help with logistics, help with whatever, and, you know, get something out of it. That was the other one that kind of interested me.
Yep. Kristen?
I was just hoping to get some clarity on where we think the revenue is coming in for the city.
If we were to do some sort of larger event that has been discussed, we would charge fees for that vendor space. In the appendix of it, there's just kind of a rough breakdown of where the numbers came from. So it would vary greatly, and it would really be dependent on if it's something vendors are interested in, if they think it's worthwhile for them. There's a lot of different models that pricing could be, but just for the sake of having a rough estimate for this, there's these charts here that range from 15 to 40 vendors. I don't know if that 40 would physically fit in any great space without a lot of extra infrastructure, but that option's there. And it depends on what we charge for them and if that seems to be a good market rate for it. But there would be some revenue coming in from that, as well as presumably some sort of food truck or food vendor at an event that size. I would think that that would be needed for it. But again, those fees totally depend on what interest there is from people. And typically, in the first couple of years, they may start lower until it has a reputable name, and vendors are confident that they're going to be blocking off that many weekends and spending that much of their money that they will be making a revenue. So that's another pretty big variable, and it could go either way. It could build with years. Totally depends.
And do you feel like you guys have the capacity to try and get sponsorships?
Potentially. All of these, our estimates would be in addition to what staff are currently doing. So we would likely need some more assistance with that, both for the preparation ahead of time. Logistically, something at this scope would be probably greater than Happy Days for planning wise if it were to be the full market, as well as some sort of maintenance hours per week of reaching out to vendors, watching weather, and just doing those general correspondence during the season, however long that may be. And then there would also likely need to be staff present on site to make sure things are running smoothly, deal with any emergencies. There would also be considerations for emergency personnel as well as snow plowing, presuming that we have a good winter this year.
And when you say assistance, do you mean like another staff member may need to be hired for this?
Potentially either more staff, maybe contracted services. There's a lot of different routes that would depend on what the scope of this looks like. But I would not envision something to be realistic by this year, especially with a brand new event. It would be starting from scratch. But I will say Happy Days does take up a significant portion of my time year-round. So for something new, the first few years, I would anticipate those hours to be pretty great. As something builds, it does reduce, but totally depends on, is this a one-weekend thing? Is this a reoccurring thing? Is it indoors? Is it outdoors? There's a lot of different variables that can change that quite a bit.
Okay. I'm not opposed to this on its face. I think it's good for all the reasons that Mayor Hyman listed, but I think all of those same reasons of why this can be good is the reason why a community center would be good, and we've turned that down. And although a community center would cost more, I think it makes more sense long term, and I'm not someone that will vote against something because I didn't get my way one time, but I just want us all to like think about the fact that there's not a clear return on investment on this and potential revenue source, and that we could be operating in a deficit, having to hire staff, unsure about the interest in it. But it does offer a service, right? And so those are all things that we talked about when we turned down a community center. That is something that people have actually asked for in our community that I've heard at the doors. I've heard from community members. I don't think I've heard anyone asking me to build a Christmas market. So I'm okay with this, but I just want us all to keep that in the back of our minds when we're talking about things in the future. I do agree with Councilmember Riley that the tree lighting springboard makes the most sense to me. We already have an event that people recognize here and has a good turnout, and so maybe being able to utilize that time frame would be good. Councilmember Stewart, I appreciate the creativeness of trying to get vendors to maybe put forward some of their own investment in their cabin, having some skin in the game. Maybe they have to purchase the cabin. Maybe they're not building it, but they're the ones that put it up for it, and then that's their space permanently. Some way where we're not having to foot as much of the onset of the money, and then we can also kind of see what interest there is in people wanting to partake in this as a vendor by having that upfront conversation with people.
Michael?
On the topic of the huts, maybe you could offer two options. You can rent it. There's no guarantee it'll be the same spot next year, or you can purchase it at a higher price. You can do more modification to it once you're in there because it's yours. But sort of a hybrid.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a lot of coming attractions to Ramsey, and there's some large attractions that may be coming in that are going to bring a lot of families over the winter as well. So I think we will see quite a bit of influx of people from outside the city coming to Ramsey as a destination for lots of recreational activities that may be coming down the pipe. So I don't think we'll have an issue with people wanting to have something to do in a place that they visit quite a bit. But I do think obviously the financials need to make sense. And I'm going to sound very optimistic here. I'll just say that good chance I'm wrong as well. But we're talking about some of this could happen and it could result in less revenue. But on this vendor revenue scenario scale too, 25 vendors at $3,000 a month, that's $75,000 in revenue that they generate. So that closes the gap. And if you had 30 vendors at $3,000, that's $90,000. So the converse is true. It could be a roaring failure, and then all of a sudden we're invested a lot of money into some infrastructure we're not using. But there's also a chance that it could be very successful and we have a lot of people coming to Ramsey to shop and to spend time and support the local businesses. And if it's very successful, there will be people from other cities, I'm sure, looking for booths and things of that nature. So there's two sides of the coin. Both should be considered. Just have to have honest assessments on that.
So, Chris, are you thinking a day, a weekend?
Well,
winter.
I think there has to be more discussion with possible vendors. I think we have to go and talk to people who would be a good fit for this and say, what would you be looking for? Because I think you can't do a day, because the amount of infrastructure you're going to have to build up for a day would now you're talking scale. But then if you say, let's do it 8 weekends in a row over, December to January or early, then you also, to the other point I think you pointed out, is maybe there are companies that's like, we don't have employees to work at an extra location for 8 weeks. However, I think we know food truck festivals are popular because people go to them. These sort of events exist because they work. When you look around and you see these events all over the nation and different countries, they don't do them because it costs them a lot of money and they fail. So once again, that logic can go both ways, but I think because was this the projected revenue of a vendor booth? Did I see that in here too? There was at the bottom of one of these pages, it was
yes, in the
page 45, average vendor revenue would be $4,500 per market day.
Totally depends on what that vendor interest is. With
sure.
This is really just looking at those broad feasibility and factors.
Yeah.
There has been no research done with vendors,
yeah.
So we don't quite know what that market rate that they would be willing to pay is, mm-hmm. until we do some more of that outreach. But just for the purpose of having some sort of estimate, The section C in the appendix has the number of vendors, what that cost might look like per day, what that equates to for the season, and then what if it were at max capacity for whatever those were, what that maximum revenue may look like.
Right.
So again, you can see they range quite significantly from on the low end 18,000 all the way up to 120,000. So again, a lot of variables in there, and it would be very heavily based on how the vendors perceive that opportunity. If it's worth their commitment of all of those weekends, it depends on if we structure it as a, you get this booth for the whole season, or maybe you sign up for some.
Yeah.
Lots of different ways it can go.
Yeah, I'm sure if there's a person selling handmade ornaments, they may not make a lot of money. Maybe they will because they're really great. But if you have somebody selling hot cocoa and, you know, hot pastries, and there's 800 people that weekend, they're, it's going to be very lucrative to grab one of those spots, which means eventually you can start raising those costs as well and let the market decide that. So to answer your question, I don't know. I think if you're going to go with that C2 scale, which is large, it would have to be multiple weekends to make it worth the investment. If you're going to do a pop-up, then maybe it's just one day. But I would lean towards C2, but then I'd also say, can we get a pulse of businesses to see what they're willing to do? So, does that answer your question?
Yes.
Kirsten?
And I think that, you know, maybe this is something that's, we can do both ways, right? Like, it might be hard to get a pulse on things without actually going through with it, and so maybe it's a pop-up originally. And I think, you know, it doesn't take a lot of infrastructure to do a pop-up. You know, we see it happen at Adrenaline where it's a weekend and people are able to put tables up or what have you. And then from there we can see the interest. I do think that we are really blessed in this scenario right now to have the farmers market as a guideline, you know, and we have gotten a lot of really good you know, interest in that, and we'll have a whole season to see how that turns out before we even intend to do anything, because it won't be this winter, it'll be next winter. And so we have time, and for us right now at this time is good. So I want to take your lead on this. It was your idea, Ryan, and I think it's a good idea.
Thank you. Thanks. Do you think that for the farmer's market, is this something we could reuse these stalls for as well? Could we reuse these stalls to make the farmer market an even better scenario, or not scenario, but a more formalized farmer's market where it's an even bigger draw when they have markets they can set up in and they can lock their produce over the...
It could be something to investigate. I've seen some markets that have semi-permanent stalls, but... there's a lot of changes over the weeks, and I know many of them would likely not leave their materials overnight, as a lot of the vendors who do this regularly, they have a different market every week, so they're going to be packing their things up and going. That would also likely involve looking at a different venue, since this year it's set up in that parking lot. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of events that go on there, including the concert series, and actually Tuesday morning is the time to play. That's gotten pretty popular. So not necessarily at that location, but it could be something investigated, but it would also come with that caveat of having some sort of resources or staff or ability to build them and pop them up, and I'm not sure what the interest would be from vendors on it. I'm sure it'd be nice to have some shelter from the rain on days like this,
Yeah. But
I know a lot of them, especially the ones with produce, will kind of bring their vehicle up so that they can have that out there. So that would be something that would maybe be worth reaching out to the vendors and getting some sort of pulse on them.
I think, to your point, the farmer's market is, I mean, this is the equivalent of a farmer's market. It's just in the winter with a whole different set of goods, but as far as it being a place where vendors show up, it becomes a destination, people come and they shop. I mean, that's essentially what this is too. So it's the winter version of that, but instead of produce, it's, you know,
popsicles.
Or warm things, or warm, like hot cocoa. But obviously, then there's another aspect, like, you know, maybe ice skating, or maybe Santa's there, or maybe there's local schools, choirs showing off and stuff. So, okay. So we're not ready yet, but there's interest to continue pursuing it at the C2 level. I know there's some yeses and some noes, so... Okay, well, we got four yeses, two noes, and a maybe, but the yeses have it. So we will continue looking at the C2 level. Is there anything else? I mean, I don't want to monopolize this. You said a pop-up or launch pad off. You want to narrow it down to two options? Is there another one that somebody wants to look at? Like, Chris, like you said, the one-day event based on the Christmas lighting or something?
Yeah, I mean, I would like to, you know, I mean, we the city's done a great job of adding, it seems like, adding something to the Christmas tree lighting every year, and maybe we give it a little more of an oomph to, you know, launch pad a little bit into this or something like that. Contemplate adding a couple of booths outside, figuring out what that could look like, knowing that we don't have to provide heat for them because everyone can kind of come inside and outside in bathrooms or something. I don't know. I guess, like I said, that was what occurred to me.
I can just imagine when we hit the switch and the Christmas tree lights up, all the lights light up on the market at one time. It's like a big, like, hooray, celebration.
That's cute.
Yeah. Man. And, you know, and I know people, and not to dwell on this too long because we got to keep on moving, but not to, I know people that have come to Ramsey over the winter for very particular reasons, not to do with any of this stuff, and they need something to do, and they find, like, our ice rink, so Grand Central Park, or the ice loop, and I've known probably four or five people that have been, that came to Ramsey for the first time for certain events, that discovered those locations, and they're here quite a bit now utilizing it. So I think the other thing is, when you have a destination, people come, all of a sudden, hey, Ramsey has an ice loop I can start skating on. There's ice rinks that are available. I think it just helps, like, promote the park system in general, bring people here, and then they need to go eat, and they go to our restaurants and stuff. So anyway, so could we proceed with looking more into C2 and then maybe just say, hey, what does a soft launch look like? Or maybe we stick with the soft launch becomes the new thing. I don't know.
Mark? Yeah, I just would like to clarify or can refute if this isn't where the consensus council is, but as we look at this, the add-on event could be on our tree lighting or the Frost Fest for 2026, but we're not looking at the big event this year.
Yes, I think that's. I don't think anybody is ready to invest that amount of money without that amount of information. Oh, Abby.
If I may as well, kind of off of what Mark was saying, just for setting expectations for staff and planning time-wise, we are in our busy season with the launch of the farmers market. What level of detail does council envision staff researching or trying to find? What are kind of some of those key points or contours that would be useful information for what I would envision, depending on when that information is able to come for a market at earliest in 2027 or even more than likely 2028 by the time decisions are made. As mentioned, Happy Days is pretty much a year-round, especially if we're bringing in sponsorships. That monetary amount for the sponsors, they really want to know that it's going to be highly visible, so we would need significantly time to set it up for success. So what's kind of the key points or what level of detail would you all like to see?
I have some ideas. I don't know.
Go ahead.
I would like to see, and we'll see if we have consensus here, like market appetite. Like, I don't know if you have the ability to chat with people at the farmers markets or things of that nature, but if we could get a good idea of appetite, if it's something that people would want, and leveraging current partnerships with different, you know, sponsors and things of that nature. And then I think another good thing even would be, during the tree lighting this year, would have been one small area or something, like, you know, if you say, hey, we're going to have two dedicated booths or even tents, because we're not going to invest in booths yet, and put that out there. If we have, you know, 13 people respond and say, hey, I'd love to have a permanent space outside Ramsey for the tree lighting event, that'd be an indicator that there's broader appeal for that. So I guess I'd let you take the lead on it, but I think the question is, if we did it at this level, it needs to be great. It should be successful. I don't think there's much consensus either by the people who give thumbs up if I had to take a guess that we'd want to swing on something with that big of an investment if we had a really good idea it's going to fail. So I think it's just coming back to us with an honest appraisal of, yes, we've reached out to people, we've looked into this a little bit more, we think we can do it well, or we don't think we have the ability to do it well. Because if we don't have the ability to do it well, then it will set us up for a failure. So I don't know if that answers your question.
maybe sometime for maybe even later this winter of having some of that idea based on the conclusion of the farmer's market. Mm-hmm. And I do think it would be feasible to do something very small at the tree lighting, like maybe instead of having a big craft room for kids, we have a smaller room and maybe a limited number of vendors in here or an AR room. There's some options with that that wouldn't take as much staff time and could maybe be a feeler.
Yeah, feelers. Put out some feelers. Okay. All right, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Brian, can you hit that pause for? I can grab the stop, start. Stop, start, stop, start.
Colleen, you're going to lead this one?
Yes, I am.
All right. We're going to move on to item three, discuss regarding union contract negotiations, discussions close to the public. So, Colleen, I'll let you do your thing.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council. As provided by statute, which is attached to the case, we can close this meeting to discuss union negotiation strategy. The city would, just by majority vote, choose to go into closed session.
Okay. All right. Good.
All right.